Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thank you again for listening to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and the host of this show. Well, before we get into our interesting segments tonight, I would just like to get some housekeeping out of the way. And the first thing I would like to bring up is that I have 8 books currently out on Amazon, with my latest book entitled Manifestations. And this book contains 4 books of the 8 that I have out on Amazon. And again, my reasoning for doing that is because when I do book signings, it's easier for me to explain one book than 4 to 8 books. So I decided to do an oversized book, which has my best of the bestest experiences of all in there. So if you are interested, the first thing you could do is go to my website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. And on this website, you can see the book covers, their descriptions. And also on this website, there's a tab toward the front, or toward the front, toward the top, to the right-hand side. It's a button, and it gets you directly into my website for Podomatic. And there you can download, I think I'm up to about 47 or 48 episodes since I started doing podcasting 2-3 years ago. So lots for you to listen to and lots for you to read. Okay, so what are we going to have to discuss on the show this evening? We are going to first start out with Ghoulish Chatterbox, move into the Haunted Report, and then from there, we are going to do a segment tonight on the infamous Bonnie and Clyde. And what I find very interesting about this is that my husband and I, we were just out in Prim, Nevada, which is near the border of California, and we just got back. And what's interesting about it is that we were able to see at Whiskey Pete's Casino and Resort the death car, and it's real, of Bonnie and Clyde. And years ago, I had learned or was told that they were thinking about moving that car somewhere else. So something must have occurred to keep it there. I was very pleasantly surprised. When we went there, I wasn't expecting to see it there. But the story of it, they have a great video there. They have that car and then another, I don't know if it's gangster, that's also in there. And they also have the shirt of Clyde, the one that he was killed in when he and Bonnie were in that car. And it's just a very surreal experience to me right now, because today, even though I hate dating my shows, today, when you hear this on Para X, by the way, this will have been recorded a couple weeks after the fact. Those of you who are listening on Podomatic will be hearing it within a day or two after the fact. And so just know that I don't like doing that, but I find it very strange that I would actually be doing a segment on Bonnie and Clyde when today, May 23rd, 1934, was their actual death date. They died on this day. I don't know. I can't explain it. All I know is that sometimes these things just kind of continue to flutter around me, and it's very possible that I got a little nudge in doing that. So I hope you enjoy the segment tonight. And as we move forward, again, I want to extend my appreciation to all of you. I am heard worldwide. I have countries listening and downloading now that I have never had before. I am extending myself to all corners of the universe. And I just want to thank you. Without you, I cannot extend my appreciation enough. Without you as my listenership, I probably would have stopped doing this a long time ago. But podcasting, especially about something that I'm very interested in and something I'm very accustomed to for many years, has given me the opportunity to heighten my own interest in it, learn from others who have delved in it to a greater extent than I probably would ever do, And for that, I say thank you. So I hope to keep bringing you interesting episodes in the future. And again, thank you for listening. Alrighty then, as they say, shall we just get on with it already? Okay, so sit back, enjoy some popcorn, drink a cup of coffee, and why don't we first start with the Ghoulish Chatterbox. Stay tuned. Do you often sleep?
With the lights on?
This evening,
I am going to entertain you with a song.
I didn't know you could sing.
I can't, but my vocalizer is on a roll, so sit back and enjoy.
What kind of song do you plan to sing about?
Well, who else? My beloved Maynard.
Oh, jeez.
Hey. I mean, hey.
Well, let her rip, Mildred. Let's hear it.
A Song of Love.
Is that the title?
Yes, a song of love. I love Maynard, and he loves me. We are happy together, as happy as we could ever be. Sometimes we like to just swing in the trees. That's because I love Maynard, and he loves me. Well, what do you think?
Does he know you feel this way about him?
No, well, maybe. Never mind.
Mildred, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I think the audience is wanting to know a little bit more about you.
Who wants to know, anyway?
Well, the world. Right now, we have made it from corner to corner. You have made it from corner to corner in this world. Let's let the people know who you are.
Really? Well, how nice. Well, let's see. I sleep with the lights on. I get a little bit scared when the lights are off, and I despise people in my territory. And I jump when I hear someone walking into a room.
I think you mean they usually jump when they realize that they're not alone in a room.
Well, sometimes for fun, I like to throw things across the room, or I like to pull out a drawer, or I like to change the arms on a clock so it reads the wrong time. But basically, I just don't always like to be, alone either, so I like to tease people. Sometimes when I look into a mirror, I don't see anything looking back at me, so then I scream, okay? And then that makes them scream because they thought they heard something scream and yada, yada, yada. But sometimes, too, when I'm, say, in a bathroom, especially if a guy is in there, I don't know, what's up with this white, creamy, foamy stuff that they always stick on their faces? I mean, what are they trying to prove, anyway?
I think what you mean is that they're shaving, and that's just something we just do.
Well, then, if it's a girl, for example, I mean, what is she doing to herself? She's putting all this lipstick on, and this stuff on her eyes, and then sometimes there's these eyelashes that look like they can walk across the sink by themselves. I mean, ew, yucky.
Well, I think that, in this day and age, the girls like to get themselves dialed up as much as possible so they can impress their little boyfriends.
Ew, boyfriend, schmoyfriend. Sometimes I just go and I look at Maynard and I go, isn't he just the most dreamiest of the dreamiest? I mean, if I put on those fake eyelashes, I mean, what do you think he would do? He can't see me, and then all of a sudden you see these two little eyelashes kind of walking across the room or floating. I mean, what do you think that he would do?
I'd probably scream his head off and get the heck out of there.
I love Maynard. Where is he anyway? I love Maynard. Well, I'm going to give you another, I'm going to write you a poem, and I'm going to have you give it to Maynard. And here's what my poem would say. Dear Maynard, your sweet, beautiful eyes make my knees weak. Your rosy cheeks, so plump and squeezy. And your high-pitched voice, so masculine and so strong. May you always know, Maynard, that I love you.
Mildred, I think I'm going to cry. That is probably the nicest thing I've heard you say in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, get over yourself, Dr. Kelly. Sometimes we realize we love more deeply than we could ever express. And Maynard will always be my boy toy. I mean, he'll always be my man.
Thanks, Mildred. Thank you for the nice song and the poem. And I hope that the world will come to understand you and appreciate all the things that you have given to us to this point.
Take care, everyone.
And that ends our segment this week on
Ghoulish Chatterbox.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. Well, for this week, I would like to talk a little bit about some of the experiences I had just recently back in Las Vegas. I do go out there periodically throughout the year. You're going to hear me talk about this. I do believe that that place and the surrounding area is incredibly haunted simply because of the type of atmosphere, the type of energy in the area, the types of minerals and stones, or if you want to call it minerals, definitely the types of stones and in the earth, and of course the fact that during most periods of time there's a lot of sunlight out there, so it's constantly, whatever the elements are on the ground, they're constantly absorbing this sunlight and this energy, which allows whatever to manifest more so than anything else. It's just a whole different ball game out there. I usually go out to Las Vegas to write. I'm not writing my 9th book yet on the paranormal. I hope to. Maybe I'll do that next year. I don't know. But I do write a number of different types of books. And this time around, I was out there by myself for a whole week. I did not expect to have an experience. I did have an experience in my hotel room again, a different hotel room as compared to the last experience in February. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. So sit down, grab your cup of coffee and your popcorn. Let's delve into the experience that I had, which was in my hotel room. And it involved a dresser drawer that decided that it wanted to let me know that something was there. So let's first talk a little bit about dressers and wardrobes and enclosed type things, including kitchen cabinets and drawers, etc., etc. Up until this point, well, up until the last few years, the only thing that I had ever really heard of that opened without explanation was kitchen cabinets and kitchen silverware type drawers, and also probably the drawers underneath as well. And I know that my husband's cousin had an experience, or her boy had an experience when everyone was gone one day, and he got up and I can't remember if he got up and then he discovered that the cabinets were open, or if he had left, come back, and he knew that nobody was in the house and all the cabinets were open. And, of course, scared him to death, and then he hightailed out of his house, and, you know, then all sorts of things started to happen. Now, he lived on a property that had been passed down from generation to generation, so somebody was definitely hanging around, and they always thought it was, an aunt of some sort. But that was, up until that point, that was the closest I came to seeing something open. Then when I started going on my own trips and my own investigations and trying to delve into this in the most modest way possible, I had an experience where in the haunted room with the cycling mirror, the wardrobe door, which was closed when I went to bed, was open, probably about an inch or two in the morning. And, of course, that room was highly active with paranormal activity. So I figured something was residing inside the wardrobe. And I had asked the assistant manager the next morning, I said, "Where did you get that wardrobe? Where did it come from?" She said that a lot of the furniture in that bed and breakfast building that, you know, had 12 ghosts in it, by the way, came from different estate sales and stuff like that. And so a lot of times what people don't realize, especially over in Europe in some of these bed and breakfasts, is that a lot of the artwork and a lot of the furniture that they have in there, a lot of times it's not original to the property. They literally go out and they go to estate sales just like we do here in the States, and they find the right artwork to put on their walls. And sometimes the pictures of the people that are on the walls have never existed in that building at all. It's just because it all goes hand in hand. So anyway, that was my first real acknowledgement that a wardrobe or something could open. Now, of course, you will think this, well, maybe there's a vibration, maybe the room isn't completely level, maybe something jiggled it, maybe there's a constant trembling underneath, you know, a vibration under the floor that might technically just jog it loose. Yes, yes, and yes to all of that. However, I made sure that when I went to sleep, that when I tested all of these things, that there was like no way they could easily open on their own. So moving that to another incident, though, when my husband's mother passed away, and we went to a hotel room, and I'm trying to remember, I believe this was in a place in Memphis, Tennessee, I think. We were in some kind of just a regular hotel. I had a lot of experiences go on that day. I had, when we stopped there, one of the things I noticed when we walked into the room was that the dresser drawer was open. Didn't think anything of it. Oh, you know, so-and-so, they forgot to, you know, close it. It came open by itself. Something jiggled it. It moved on its own. Yes, yes to all of these types of explanations. Closed that dresser drawer. And I cannot recall what was going on, but I do remember that I was in some kind of a fuzzy daze. He just learned that his mother passed away. He was devastated. And I had to go back outside to get something from the car. When I went outside, my eardrums about blew out of my head because something, some church, somewhere, somebody was playing Silent Night, and it was practically burning out, literally blowing out my eardrums. So I had to put my hands over my ears because it hurt so bad. I looked around me to try to determine if I could figure out where this song was coming from because it was so loud, and I couldn't figure it out. And so I went back inside, of course, went back into the room and noticed that the dresser was open again. And I asked my husband, "Did you just open up that dresser drawer?" He said, "No, I never moved an inch." Okay, so now we have it open again. So I go and close it, and of course it remained closed for the rest of whatever. So I said to him that he should go outside because someone was playing Silent Night, which was his mother's favorite song. And when he went outside, of course, he couldn't hear it any longer. And I said, "How could you not hear that? It practically blew out my eardrums." What I know happened to me was something. And then, of course, I was in a very big daze. My ears felt really dizzy. When I look back at that moment, I know that I had some kind of paranormal activity going on around me. It could have been his mother. His mother always knew that I was into the paranormal, and usually when somebody knows somebody who's into the paranormal, they will seek them out first because they know that they can get their message across. And I believe that what she was doing was she was playing this song, and when he told me it was her favorite song and that there was no active church around the area that was literally blowing that music, I knew right then and there that it was a sign of something. And I said, well, your mother just reached out to me because my eardrums are absolutely blown out right now. And I went into the shower and I just remember being in there and feeling really, really lightheaded and really dizzy and kind of sick. And again, these are all symptoms of course, if you're having some kind of paranormal attack. Now, if it wasn't her that contacted me, it was somebody very strong who got their message across. And of course, I'm usually the first person somebody will come to. As far as the dresser drawer being out, you know, it's very odd, but I mean, the one thing I would be curious to ask anyone who cleans these rooms is, are on occasion, do you leave these drawers open? Okay, so then that brings us now to my experience recently when I was at Treasure Island, and I love Treasure Island in Las Vegas, by the way. I love staying there. It's always been really good to me. You know, I have nothing but positive to say about that place. But that's where it happened, if you want to know. And I was in a room, and usually I had one attack in Treasure Island, or I brought something back from a haunted tour a few years ago where I went into a trance and in the shower, and my husband had to snap me out of it. But this time, I didn't feel anything at first. And so when I walked into my room, the dresser drawer was open about 6 inches. And I thought, you know, it would be nice if once in a while they would just kind of like close the drawers after they're done, you know, cleaning the rooms. And didn't think much of it, so I closed it. And it wasn't a loose drawer at all. But I started writing, and I was writing for a few hours. And then I got up and I turned around and the drawer was open again. And it was out about 6 inches. And I thought, okay, this is bizarre. There's no way that this drawer could have come open. It was not vibrational in that room or anything. So I went over and I started testing the drawer. And, you know, it was something that you would have to jiggle hard to get to a point to come out. And at the point where I saw it actually come out, it only went about 2 inches to 2-3 inches tops. It stopped at that point, so it's possible. But to bring it another 3 inches, where it was about 6 inches out, that it could not do without somebody taking it and dragging it the additional 3 inches. So I started to observe it, you know, for the rest of the day. It wouldn't do anything. And I thought, well, of course not. I'm sitting here staring at it, you know, every 2 seconds. Went to bed that evening. Sure enough, the next morning, you know, and when I went to bed, I pushed that in so hard, there was just no way it was going to come out. Because you have to remember something. I sat and stared at it for like 6 to 8 hours after that, didn't budge an inch. Anyway, long story short, next morning, woke up and it was out again. I had some odd dreams that evening, stuff that's just bizarre. Nothing overly negative or hostile, just bizarre. And I slept with the light kind of like, you know how you can turn the lights, you know, and dim them down. I dimmed mine down a little bit and kept it on all night. So do I sleep with the lights on? Yeah, it just depends on where I am and how nervous I am about my conditions. Anyway, that's what happened to me. So then I started to question this thing about drawers. I mean, I know drawers can come out anywhere, but I think it's just very interesting how that had happened to me here. That leads me to this article that I wanted to talk about regarding this thrift store. The date is March 14th, 2019. So it just recently happened a few months ago. And this thrift store was selling what is called a haunted chest of drawers. And because the owner said that it had caused continuous nightmares. Now, one of the things that we do know is that when you have something that could be that negatively charged or haunted per se, an object of any sort in your room or in your house. And people are reporting that they're having these nightmares that seem really odd. Now, of course, we have to ask the couple, you know, did you have any kind of gas emission going on in your house at the time? You know, you'd have to do all the testing to make sure that what they were not experiencing wasn't something of a different nature than what they claimed it to be. But this is what the article basically says. So the thrift store posted a warning signaling that the chest of drawers was perceived to be haunted, causing these nightmares. And that most of the time they would never post that because, you know, of thrill seekers, or you can't always make claims like that and then find out that, you know, because people will say that all the time now, and someone will buy something thinking that it truly is haunted, but it's not. People make money off this stuff all the time. But this one was about as serious as they came, and he said that the couple kept experiencing these continuous nightmares, which of course is a sign that something could be negatively charged in your room. Two men came in and bought the item, paid full price for it. Why do I have a feeling that they're like collecting this stuff so they can open up a haunted museum? Anyway, regular customers, they're intrigued by it and they claim they don't believe that the furniture piece was haunted. I'd like to talk to them to this day and ask if they had any experiences. And this was, a small town, but that again, that they had to put a warning on it because of this haunted. And so they don't usually disclose that, but in this case, they felt they had to. They said that, they felt that, the people who bought it were not really believers in haunted furniture. They felt it was beautiful. Most people that were around it, though, felt like that it gave them an eerie feeling, and that they felt that spirits can attach themselves to just about anything. No, it's not the spirit half the time. It's their energy. But yet we don't know how much of them is attached to their energy. So a lot of times too, people will think that the energy that is on an object is the actual soul or being of somebody. Yes to no and no to that. Sometimes people don't realize that an energy may attach itself to especially like a doll or something, because they know that that is what appears to be the closest thing to what looks like a human in existence. And that's why a lot of times you hear of that sort of thing. Not much more on this article with the hutch or the just chest of drawers. It's just a very stylish one. And it was something that was hand carved in the 1950s. Okay, once again, we know that the oils from our hands do penetrate into wood. And we do know that wood is also listed as something that can become haunted or, I don't want to use the word suck in the energy, but take in the energy from our hands and stuff like that. And anything that's been touched a lot, especially if it's jewelry or anything like that that's been on somebody, it has a way of taking in that energy. So that's about that. And this occurred in North Carolina. Okay, so putting that one aside, let me think here a moment, other than my own experiences and with chests of drawers opening or not. My question would be, what is exactly, what kind of message are they trying to give me by opening up that drawer? That they're there, that they exist, that something happened in there, that something's in there, that, you know, the thing needs to be inspected more. I don't know. I can tell you right now that my husband and I have a couple of pieces from my former great-grandfather, a couple of pieces way back in the 19-teens. And a couple pieces are already in our house, and we have tried to, well, we've remodeled them or, you know, refurbished them a little bit to their glory day. We do have a piece that's out in our garage that is a wardrobe that, if anything would be most likely for that thing to be haunted, it would be that. So I guess the question will be, is this summer, once we get done refinishing it and making it pretty, and then if we do bring it into the house, the question will be, is will anything come of that? And that'll be the ultimate question. But if anything does come of that, I know exactly where it will have come from right off the bat. So, my question to you is this. Have you ever had an experience with a haunted item? Or a cabinet that opens up unexplained, or drawers, or something in your bedroom, or whatever that keeps opening up but you just cannot explain it? Well, of course, the question is, of course, and it'll always be, for me, why is that something that you need to hang around, and why is your energy still on it, and why can't you remove your energy from it and ultimately go elsewhere? That's my ultimate question that I'm in search of right now. Why does energy still stay on these objects and they don't move on? I don't know. If you have the answer, feel free to write me at krschutz1@yahoo.com. Here ends our haunted report for this evening. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the ParaX Radio Network. Welcome to the final segment of the evening. This is the educational portion of the podcast. We are going to talk about haunted houses, poltergeists, and of course, the infamous Bonnie and Clyde. This is the educational portion of the podcast. According to research, those that believe that their houses are haunted feel it's because they are experiencing something very unusual and not typical to what they believe are the common sounds of their homes. Researchers have talked about the fact that most homes, 98% of them, have what is called common occurrences, whereas 2% of the homes are typically unexplained or what is to be haunted. One of the elements, or a couple of the elements, as to why people think their homes are haunted is because of the change in temperatures and the creaks, the groans, and the pops that are often heard within the home. When the lights start to flicker, one has to question whether it's a case of bad wiring or whether it's a case that something is trying to communicate with you. But most of the time, when we're talking about the 2%, something cannot be explained. So let's take a look at some of these commonly reported signs and, of course, see if there can be some explanations to them. Once again, we have doors and dressers that seem to open by themselves. What did I just get done talking about this evening? My experience with dresser drawers and wardrobes always opening by themselves, not understanding where it's coming from. Of course, always done when I'm not watching them. Very interesting. I suppose if I was to go back to the Vegas experience and if I were to technically see the dresser drawer open behind me, I am not 100% sure that I would have questioned whether or not what was in the room was just a typical common entity or something a little bit more demonic. The room did not feel demonic, but I will tell you that when you literally see something happening right before your eyes and you're there by yourself, it's not always necessarily a welcoming experience. So let's see what this article says. Let's see. You swear you closed the doors. When you left for work, you come back, you find something wide open. Doors, cabinets, and drawers. Yep, talks about it right here. Classic hallmarks of a haunting. It may seem like nothing at first, this article says. Maybe you got distracted or left the drawer open, or maybe someone was looking for something. But if the cabinets were securely closed and your wife or husband or boyfriend has been gone all day long, it could be a sign of paranormal activity. This one also talks about how this individual walked into their kitchen to find every cabinet door and drawer open. Which, yes, if you're not ready for that, it is a very violating and freaky experience, because the thing is, our minds do not commonly see this happening all the time. So when something unusual happens, it's going to call it to our attention. Now, of course, this article has a what is called an explanation for the possibility here. Maybe you're absent-minded and you've just, left all your doors open? You thought it was fun? I don't think so. You walk in your sleep. Okay, now that's a possibility. I am sure some of you are wondering, when I woke up the next morning and found my dresser drawer open, whether or not during the night I pulled it open or jolted it or touched it in some way, causing it to come open to its degree. I can tell you right now that I don't seem to have a pattern of doing that. Otherwise, my husband would alert me to the fact that I do more of that at home. Your babysitter is nosy. Yes, I know one of my little sisters was blamed once for the dresser drawer being opened and climbing on top of it and looking out the window. Except I know she was looking out the window. This is when she was being babysat by somebody, by the way. But they thought that she was being nosy and was going through her drawers. What would a 4, 5, or 6-year-old child care about looking through someone's drawers? Not quite there. Maybe the cabinetry wasn't of the best craftsmanship, therefore maybe it opened on its own. Yes, we all know that their shoddy craftsmanship can lead to doors swinging back open, things coming open. We know drafts can bring a door open or close, but I'm not quite sure that if we're talking about a really heavy piece of furniture like a dresser drawer with several drawers, that would be the case. You hear knocks and scratches on the walls. Yeah, this is an interesting one for me, because when I was at the Wynn a couple years ago, there was knocking behind my head, and behind my head was the bathroom, and I was the only one in the room at the time, and then, of course, my lights started to flicker off and on, and then they went off, and they would not come back on. Now, let's talk about what's creepy. Creepy is when you have your lights on, and then all of a sudden they go out, and you can't get them on anymore. That's creepy. Okay, scratches on the walls. Okay, so let's see. This is what the article says. All noises sound more sinister when you are lying awake at night. True. The ghosts seem to know that. True. So you might hear raps, knocking, and scratches are some of the most common ways that they communicate with us. True, but you know, once again, when you're in a room by yourself, in a hotel room, 60 floors up? I just want to call that to your attention. You can be anywhere. 60 floors up high in the sky. But remember, I for some reason, and I don't know why, I have found myself out in Las Vegas on full moon evenings, probably 99% of the time when I go out there. It's not by chance that I do that. I just, honestly, it always seems to happen that way. All right, we got an alternative explanation, of course. Rodents, raccoons, bats, branches, pipes, air ducts, windows expanding and contracting with the changing temperatures, etc., etc. Okay, what else does this article say about haunted places? Cold spots. Yeah, and in my case, sometimes it's a draft and sometimes it's not a draft. You'll be walking through a house and all of a sudden the temperature drops drastically and then you go back and it's gone and it feels, you know, like the other circumstances around the house. Spirits draw energy out of the environment, leaving the area frigid. Okay, so if that's the case, then why is it that there's this one particular spot that they just seem to want to draw all that energy out and then, of course, making it cold? It doesn't make sense to me. Although I have to say that I have been in some pretty interesting situations that have all of a sudden not just turned cold, but turned very hot. So, of course, the explanation here for an alternative, are you sure it's not a draft? All right. So let's see. Another thing it talks about is electronics. Electronics are constantly doing weird things. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you could get mine to work any faster sometimes, I'd be a lot happier. The lights go out, but the switch hasn't moved. The TV flicks on and off. Brand new batteries drain in 20 minutes. This stuff is relatively ordinary in the paranormal field. True. I can tell you right now that when we are in the presence or I'm in the presence of something, if I had a flashlight, or if I had anything of that sort, they would drain that battery in seconds, and I have seen it happen right before my eyes. So they need energy, and this is where they draw it from. So they pull it from wherever they can. Yes, but can they at least give me a day's break? Because sometimes I think they're munching all over my body, which can be your gadgets. All right, so then we have the alternative explanation. Your neighbor's remote. Your remote for the television is inadvertently controlling your TV. I've seen that happen before. Or you need an electrician, not an exorcist. Well, I don't know. I beg to differ. Maybe get the exorcist first and then get the electrician. Someone's calling your name, but there's nobody there. Disembodied voices are surprisingly a common report. People claim to hear whispers of nearby conversations. I've heard them. Or someone calling their name while at home alone. If someone were calling my name while at home alone, I would be out of my house so fast, it wouldn't matter what I had on or what I looked like. That is what I would call something that's not funny. And if we're getting to something like that, then the only explanation I have that I would give to you is it's demonic. Alternative. Let's see. Oh, that's stupid. I'm sorry, I'm reading the article here. Your name is Stella, your neighbor loves Marlon Brando movies, you're watching too much Ghost Hunters, and your imagination is running wild. See, you hear voices on a recording. Oh, okay. Well, I suppose we all have imaginations and they do run wild. However, strange stuff happens at the same time every day. Paranormal entities are often creatures of habit. You might hear someone walking down the stairs on Thursday when no one else is home. There's a lot of locations where hauntings happen on the same time of day. That'd be residual, by the way. If you keep notes about your encounters, you might notice a pattern. This article also says normal things happen in patterns too. You know, your neighbor might flush their toilet the same time every day. The sun hits the same window around the same time, warming it up and causing it popping noises, etc. You hear voices on a recording. Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever captured an EVP because I've never had to go to that extreme. However, if I did capture an EVP, which is a voice phenomenon, I don't know how I would feel about that. Sometimes I would rather not know that something is around me screaming in my ear and I can't hear it. While humans speak by creating vibrations in the air, spirits supposedly speak in electromagnetic waves that can only be picked up by a recorder. So you turn on your voice recorder, ask a question, and just pause and wait, and basically ask if there's any ghosts here, and play back the recording and listen for any human-like voices. See, that's another thing. I don't know if I would do that in my house, simply because I stopped using the K2 meter in my house. It's like a Ouija board. Do you really want to sit and drag this stuff up in your house? Not really. If you want to do this, go do it in someone else's backyard, okay? Let's see, shadows. Okay, now that one would bother me. I can be honest about that. There might be a shadow that or a dark spot or something wisps by and it's black, you can't see it. I'm not sure what these shadows are. Most people think they're demonic. Some people say that they're not harmful. I guess it just all depends on the environment and the energy in there, but I would question the coloration of the shadow. And of course, you know what's going on outside that could create that. There's a stranger in your kitchen. Ghosts aren't floating white blobs. Sometimes they appear as solid human beings and then they disappear. And a lot of them oftentimes see someone standing in their kitchen. Now that I can verify. Have I ever seen that? No, but I've heard people say that they've seen that. And then same thing about a conversation with somebody that was, they were talking to in a restaurant. Then they would see this person again in their home and then it would scare them to death. You know, if I saw that, I would again begin to question whether or not I was dealing with a demonic energy. One quick thing about poltergeists, just basically know that parapsychologists can't agree on what they are. Yeah, they can't, because, you know, some say it's coming from ourselves. Well, when I'm in the most calmest state possible, how am I creating from my body a poltergeist? I don't know. That's why, you know, this can be very much debated. Poltergeists tend to prefer women to men. Yeah, that's usually when the stuff begins. I would kind of agree with that. Some of the best poltergeists are thought to be fakes. I don't know if you can call stuff rushing around in your house or being blown around, thrown around to be fake. The only thing I could say about that is, are you on an active ley line? And is that ley line creating things to, you know, fall off your shelf or move your chair or whatever the case may be? Some believe emotional stress can cause activity. Yes, I agree. But I also agree that paranormal entities can cause this stress and can also create unnecessary fear in a person where things build up because they eat off of fear and they eat off of energy, so anger, so therefore, you know, why wouldn't they believe that? Some people believe that spirits are the dead and they're responsible for the activity. This is what they call disembodied consciousness, our soul that survives the body after death. But also, this is to be debated because we're not quite sure what this energy is, and sometimes when it acts very, very intelligent or responds that way, we have to be very careful that it's not demonic. So let's get into Bonnie and Clyde here, because I think that they're the most interesting piece of this whole night. So let's talk a little Bonnie and Clyde. So Bonnie and Clyde, they were notorious and well known 85 years ago. They were shot on this day, May 23rd, 1934. They were outlaws, they were gangsters, and they were ruthless, and they had no remorse for anybody. Most people idolize Bonnie and Clyde because it's just some really unusual, interesting love story, apparently, of these two. And they both just basically connected with each other, and then they both established for themselves, you know, a life of crime. And when we were in Prim, Nevada, which is at Whiskey Pete's, to see the death car, that thing was riddled with bullets, and they did not have the doors to the car open, and of course it was encased with glass around it so nobody could get near it. But one of the things about, you know, Bonnie and Clyde that it had said on the video was that when they died, the Barrow family for Clyde did pay their respects to Bonnie at her funeral, but the Parker family for Bonnie went nowhere near the Barrow family or that funeral. They were not buried together. They were buried in different cemeteries, I believe in different states. Some people have indicated that their ghosts once in a while are seen sitting in the cars in Whiskey Pete's, that sometimes they also get some very unusual activity that happens, or they pick up on their cameras. That would be the first place that I would say that their energy would be left. The other thing is Clyde Barrow, you know, as in Clyde, his shirt is also on display there, and what it looked like when he was shot, of course, to death. But they bleached that shirt so many times that it is like literally stiff as a board. So the question, of course, that comes from all of this is it even possible that when you die and you charge your pants, your shirt, or whatever to that level and to that trauma, is it possible that you can literally have it bleached out, your soul, your energy, and it not be there anymore? I don't know the answer to that. I just know that it was so bleached that it just looked like stiff paper on a figure representing him. One of the things about Bonnie is that her ghost was apparently proclaimed to have been spotted in the cemetery of which she was buried. Now, I looked at that video, and it is from a distance. It's hard to tell whether or not it is something that was faked or whether it was something that was relatively, possible. Granted, with the white face and the way she used to wear her hair and the hat over her head, it is very possible that that can happen. Why she would hang around her cemetery there is beyond me, because the other report that was mentioned here was that people often see anomalies and stuff like that where they were actually killed. And so that's another thing that's been reported regarding their spirits, I guess. It would sound like to me, though, that died, of course, so tragically and so unexpectedly and so on the spot that it is very possible that their spirits are still running around. They said that their car was riddled with over 100 bullets, although when I saw this car, I wouldn't say that I saw 100 bullets. It was pretty banged up and it was the car, but I guess that would be true because the windows were all practically blown out. And then Bonnie had her wish to die with her beloved Clyde. Her body was found dead, slumped over Clyde's. The two bodies were towed from the site, still in the car. Oh, wouldn't that be gruesome? I mean, so here they're towing this car and these two bodies are still lying in there. Oh God, that'd be gross. Before this was done, onlookers managed to snip hair and other souvenirs from their bodies. One man even tried to cut off Clyde's ear and trigger finger, but the officers managed to stop him. And then, since their deaths, many people claim their ghosts still remain. Many visitors to this have reported strange anomalies and mists showing up in their photographs, especially where they were killed, and that most state that these strange lights appeared in just one of many photos they took. The car itself is also considered haunted by their ghosts. For 30 years, this blood-splattered, bullet-ridden death car was a popular attraction at carnivals, amusement parks, and flea markets, and state fairs. It was estimated that it made its various owners millions of dollars. And so today, of course, the death car is displayed at Whiskey Pete's Casino in Prim, Nevada, just across the border from California. And most people report getting a creepy, unnatural feeling as they stood near it. And many people have taken photographs of the car and have picked up strange anomalies in their pictures. Now, when we were there, it was just after full moon. This was just a couple days ago after full moon. And I didn't really feel that creeped out. I was probably more curious than anything. One of the hotels that they stayed in several nights also claimed that there was two specific areas of the hotel. This is in the Baker Hotel in Mineral Wells, the Brazo Room and the Ballroom, and they feel their ghosts are still present because they are reliving fond memories. Others say that it's several objects the hotel owns that keep their ghosts alive. And that, again, is very possible when you're talking about energies that get reawakened by someone else's energy. The revolver that's on display that was attached to Bonnie's leg upon her death is also displayed with the poem that she wrote for Clyde in the Ambush Museum in Gippsland. I don't know where Gippsland is also reportedly haunted by the ghosts of Bonnie and Clyde. Paranormal groups from through the state and the country visit this location on a regular basis. I would have to look up Gibbsland to see if I could find that. One of the things that was really, you know, they had a really good video there on Bonnie and Clyde, but it's really hard to believe that this happened to this day, 85 years ago on this day. They were actually murdered. No, not murdered. Killed by being ambushed by the law to stop them in their crime spree of 21 months. They had killed between themselves 13 deaths, bank robberies, burglaries, kidnappings, and automobile. And again, they have very interesting pictures on the internet regarding and story about the types of vehicles that they stole. You know, they were stealing some pretty spendy vehicles here. Basically, in a nutshell, let's see, they even kept shooting at the car after it had stopped, and it was obvious they were not only dead, but they were very, very dead. So they claim there's 160 bullet holes in this vehicle, and essentially, in a nutshell, I saw their pictures post-death, which is something they also had displayed in the museum. They didn't look anything like them because they're both very bloated and blown up from whatever was going on with death. And basically, in a nutshell, I do not believe I had any type of experience with them there, but I can tell you one thing, that it is a very interesting place to visit. Go there if you're ever in the area. It's Whiskey Pete's Casino, which is in Prim, P-R-I-M-M, Nevada, and it is free to see the death car and some of the other stuff that they have there. And again, quite an interesting story of Bonnie and Clyde. Well, I hope that you found this entire segment this evening very interesting. I've appreciated very much your listenership, and I hope again that you will continue to listen to Paranormal Encounters podcast series as we move forward through the rest of the year. Thank you and good night.